Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today we're getting into a really interesting one, Lewis House's book, The Greatness Mindset.
Yeah, this one's powerful.
It is. And we're not just talking about, you know, ticking boxes for success. Our mission here is to really unpack House's framework because it aims for something bigger, both that external achievement and that internal sense of fulfillment.
That's the crucial part, isn't it? Why it matters so much right now is because it directly confronts what he calls the success trap. See it all the time, right? People climb the ladder, get the money, the fame, whatever, and then they feel kind of hollow, anxious, even disconnected.
Classic success hangover. Yeah. It's definitely a thing.
It really is. So if you think of traditional success, like climbing a mountain just to find the view, isn't satisfying, well, House offers a more holistic map. It's about building the right internal foundation first, so the success actually feels meaningful.
Exactly. Earned, sustainable, not just, you know, a quick ego fix that fades.
Okay, let's talk about Lewis House himself. I mean, lots of people know him from his podcast, The School of Greatness. Huge reach.
Massive. But what gives him real authority here, I think, is his own story. It's not theoretical for him.
Right. He wasn't just born successful. Former pro athlete.
Yeah, Arena League football.
Yeah.
Then a career-ending injury just pulled the rug out, landed on his sister's couch, broke, dealing with learning disabilities he'd had since childhood, he had to completely rebuild.
And he did build successful businesses, multiple million-dollar companies. But then he hit that wall himself, didn't he? Realized the external stuff wasn't fixing the internal.
That's his unique angle. He's incredibly open about his own past traumas, like childhood sexual abuse and the fears he battled. He basically argues that you can't just hustle your way past deep psychological wounds. It just doesn't work long-term.
So he's bridging the gap between practical business advice learned from interviewing thousands of high achievers and that necessary, deeper emotional work.
Precisely. He makes these, you know, sometimes complex psychological ideas feel accessible because he shares his own vulnerability. It's a powerful combination.
Okay, so let's dig into the book's main idea. He draws this really clear line right at the start between success and greatness.
He does. Success, as he defines it, is mostly about getting the money, getting the status, getting the approval. It's very self-focused.
And that's the trap, right? Because just getting things, it never really fills you up.
Never. That's why that checklist approach often leads to emptiness. The well just keeps running dry if it's all about acquisition.
So greatness is the alternative. It's about giving, becoming.
No, exactly. It shifts the focus to being service-centered. House says real greatness needs three things working together. They're interconnected.
Okay, what are they?
First, meaningful achievement. So goals that are actually driven by a real purpose, not just ego.
Right.
Second, meaningful relationships, deep, authentic connections with people. And third, meaningful contribution, making a positive impact beyond yourself.
And you can't just pick one. Like, focus only on the achievement part. Lots of self-help sort of pushes that.
Well, according to House, the integration is where the magic happens. Achievement without relationships. Lonely. Relationships without contribution. Maybe stagnant, kind of inward-looking. You need all three.
Okay, that makes sense.
And maybe the most crucial part, the real differentiator in this book. He insists that healing past trauma is non-negotiable. It's the prerequisite. You have to deal with the unhealed stuff first.
That really challenges the typical push through the pain mentality, doesn't it? Especially for high achievers.
Absolutely. It tells you to pause, look inward, maybe even backward, before you can genuinely move forward in a sustainable way. That healing prevents the self-sabotage cycle.
Okay, so this foundational work is key. And he structures this whole process around four phases of greatness.
Yeah, it's a clear roadmap. It starts by acknowledging the big internal blockers, what he calls the enemies of greatness.
Which are?
Fear and self-doubt, basically. Fear of failing, fear of succeeding even, fear of what people think, and that nagging voice of self-doubt. But he doesn't say fight them.
Listen to them.
Kind of. Yeah. Understand them as signals. The four phases are the framework to actually move through them.
All right, let's walk through them. Phase one is imagine, creating vision.
Simple idea here. Mm-hmm. You can't achieve what you can't clearly see in your mind's eye. The key task is developing what he calls a meaningful mission.
Not just a goal, like make X amount of money.
No, much deeper. Yep. It's a powerful statement that connects your passion, your skills, and a genuine commitment to serving others or solving a real problem. This mission becomes your why, your compass. It provides direction and resilience when things get tough.
Okay, vision set. Then comes phase two, which sounds intense. Intend, healing the past. You said this is non-negotiable. Why does the vision fall apart without this?
Because unresolved pain creates subconscious roadblocks, limiting beliefs. You might consciously say, I want this success, but if deep down you feel unworthy or scared, your subconscious will find ways to sabotage you. It's like driving with a parking brake on.
So how do you actually do that? Turn pain into purpose, as he calls it. It sounds incredibly hard.
It is hard work. Mm-hmm. It requires deliberate processing, acknowledging the pain, accepting it happened, actively working on healing, maybe through therapy, journaling, specific practices, and then integrating the lessons.
Integrating. What does that mean exactly?
It means the wound stops being a source of limitation and becomes a source of strength. Maybe empathy, resilience, wisdom.
Yeah.
You operate from wholeness, not from a place of trying to prove something or fill a void. That's the foundation for sustainable greatness.
Wow, okay. That really does set this apart. So vision clarified, foundation healed, then phase three.
Phase three. Inquire, building the plan and team. Now you translate that inner work into, you know, actual action and support system.
Getting practical.
Right. Two big things here. First, embracing the willingness to look foolish. So many people are paralyzed by perfectionism, scared of being judged if they're not perfect right away.
Guilty as charged sometimes.
We all are. House says you just have to be willing to start messy, learn as you go, iterate, shed that fear.
Okay. And the second part of inquire.
Tackling the myth of the lone wolf. The idea you have to do it all yourself. He says you absolutely need to consciously build a greatness team.
Mentors, coaches.
Accountability partners, supportive peers, people who challenge you, guide you, pick you up. Greatness isn't a solo sport. It's collaborative. You need that external input and support.
Makes sense. Build the squad. And finally, phase four.
Phase four. Inspire. Service and legacy. This is where it all comes together. The focus shifts almost entirely outwards.
Beyond personal gain.
Completely. It's about realizing your achievements aren't just for you. They're the platform. You move into a service-centered life. Your actions consistently align with that meaningful mission. And that creates a ripple effect. Lasting impact, legacy. Inspiring others through your journey.
That's a really clear progression. Imagine, intend, inquire, inspire. Okay, let's pull out some of the core themes that listeners can really hold on to from this.
I think the biggest one we keep touching on is healing as the prerequisite for high performance. You just can't outperform your unresolved trauma indefinitely.
Right, that chasing the next goal to feel worthy, it just leads to burnout if the foundation's cracked, like trying to run that marathon on a broken ankle, as you said.
Exactly. It fundamentally challenges that hustle harder narrative.
Hmm.
Inner work first.
Okay, what's another key theme?
The way he reframes fear, not as something to run from, but as a signal. Fear is a compass, not a cage.
I like that. Instead of avoiding it, investigate it.
Yeah. Often the things we fear most, public speaking, launching that project, having that hard conversation, they point directly towards our biggest growth opportunities.
So the fear is like an invitation.
Pretty much. An invitation to expand your limits.
Yeah.
He encourages you to pick one fear you're avoiding and just ask, what's this really about? What's on the other side?
Powerful. Okay, a third theme. He really emphasizes connection.
Definitely. Relationships as the ultimate success metric. This pushes back hard against the sort of hyper-individualistic model of success.
You mean you can have all the money and awards, but if your relationships are poor...
Your actual quality of life is poor. True fulfillment, he argues, is deeply relational. You need that greatness team, those deep bonds. Otherwise, even big achievements can feel hollow and isolating.
Yeah, you hear stories about that. People reach the peak and feel utterly alone.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
And one more, maybe. Especially relevant today with burnout rates so high.
Go on.
Sustainable excellence over peak performance. Greatness isn't about short, intense bursts followed by crashes. It's a marathon.
Consistency over intensity?
Exactly. It requires a framework, like these four phases, applied consistently. It's about integrating these principles into your life, not just compartmentalizing work or achievement sprints.
That makes so much sense for long-term well-being. Okay, the book also has some really memorable lines. Let's unpack a few key concepts or quotes. What's one that captures that core success versus greatness idea?
I think this one sums it up perfectly. Success is about getting what you want. Greatness is about becoming who you're meant to be.
Ah, yeah. Acquisition versus character development.
Exactly. It shifts the focus from external validation to to internal evolution, to integrity, to showing up as your best self.
Okay. And one related to that tough phase two work, the healing.
This is probably the heart of his message. Your greatest wound has the potential to become your greatest source of wisdom and strength.
The trauma to triumph piece again.
Right. Not about erasing the pain, but transforming it. When you do that work, the wound becomes a source of empathy, resilience, and a deeper understanding that fuels more authentic service.
And a final one, tying into that phase four idea of service.
How about greatness is not about what you accomplish for yourself. It's about what you accomplish for others through yourself.
Using your success as a vehicle.
Precisely. Your skills, your platform, your achievements, they become tools to make a positive difference in the world. That's the ultimate expression of the greatness mindset.
Okay, really powerful ideas. So let's make this practical. How can someone listening right now start applying some of this tomorrow? Any quick tools?
Yeah, he offers some good mental filters. First, try the fear filter when you're stuck on a decision. Ask yourself, is this fear protecting me from real objective danger? Or is it just trying to protect my ego from feeling uncomfortable or looking silly?
Ooh, that's a good distinction. Ego protection versus actual threat.
It unlocks a lot of action, just asking that question. Second, for career or big life choices, use the mission filter.
Based on that meaningful mission from phase one.
Right. Don't just look at salary or status. Ask, does this opportunity move me closer to or further away from my meaningful mission? It forces you to make decisions based on your deeper values, not just short-term gains.
Value-based decisions. Okay. What about that inner work, phase two? Where to start?
Start small. Try the pain to purpose exercise. Pick one past difficulty, a failure, a setback, a hurt. Instead of just replaying the negative feelings, intentionally list the strengths, the resilience, the lessons you gain because of it.
Reframing it as a source of power.
Exactly. It's a simple but profound first step towards integration. And finally, don't forget phase three.
The greatness team.
Yeah. Be proactive. This week, identify one person who could be on your greatness team, a potential mentor, someone you admire, an accountability buddy, and reach out. Schedule a coffee, a call. Don't wait for support to find you. Actively build it.
Okay, those are really actionable steps. Love it. So as we wrap up, what's your single biggest takeaway from this deep dive into the greatness mindset? What really stood out?
For me, it's the clarity and the sequential nature of the four phases. Imagine, intend, inquire, inspire. It's not just a collection of motivational ideas. It's a genuine roadmap. It makes greatness feel less like some abstract ideal and more like a systematic process. An inside-out job. You become great internally first.
Yeah, I agree with that. And for me, the most impactful thing is definitely that insistence on phase two, the healing, the idea that you simply cannot build sustainable greatness on a foundation of unaddressed pain. It distinguishes it so clearly from just pure achievement literature. You have to do the work. You can't hustle your way past your history.
Well said. It's about wholeness leading to achievement, not the other way around.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.